Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here for another one of our fun Friday roundtable discussions. Today, Pam and Ricky are joining me, and we talk about what Walt Disney World and even the world in general is going to look like coming out of this pandemic that we're in right now. We think there's some positive things that are going to happen for our vacations and just for, you know, work life and family life and things like that. It's a fun, kind of different show, but we hope you'll enjoy it. Don't forget, today's episode is brought to you by the folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. So when you're ready to take that next Disney trip, please support the folks who support us and book with themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link. It's over at beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits and it costs you nothing extra. So please use it as often as you can. Beourguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1637 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Friday to you. We hope that you are doing well. You're hanging in there wherever you are. We're going to make it through this. Just think, every podcast that comes out, and Lord knows we've had a lot of them on the feed lately, we're one day closer to being back to normal, traveling to our favorite places, hanging out with our favorite people, and eating at our favorite restaurants. How cool will that be? Just to sit down at a restaurant and somebody hand you a menu instead of just like your wife saying, what are we having? What are we going to have tonight? You know, leftovers? I don't know. So anyway, we're closer. We're getting there and we're going to make it through this. And we appreciate the support you've given the show. We love our community check-ins. And today is going to have kind of a community check-in feel because I have the MacBook Air hooked up. So if you want to call in and you're watching live, of course, now if you're downloading the podcast on a feed and you're out on a run, don't pop out the cell phone and give us a call. We're not going to answer. Ricky's probably still asleep. I'm probably on the phone with Disney. Pam, same thing. So, you know what? This only works for our live callers today. You know how it works. But we'll have another community check-in if you're listening on Friday tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, also Saturday and Sunday night as well. So if you want to call in, talk to me, and we might have Pam and Ricky on this weekend too. Be ready. We can do that. But during this show, we're going to have some live calls. If you want to call in, we have it hooked up. But joining me today, we have Ricky from touringplans.com and themouseforless.com. I got it right. What's going on, Ricky?
I would very much like to go to a restaurant. So I'm so tired of cooking dinner. all I will say is that this like experience has got us started on Uber Eats. We did not do Uber Eats before, but now we have done it, and genius idea. Love the idea. So, yeah, we've been kind of getting our restaurant fill with Uber Eats so that I don't have to cook every night, but, like, I still want to just go to a restaurant.
I know, seriously.
And not have to eat at my kitchen table or what really is going to happen on my TV trays and while watching TV. So
we do eat at the kitchen table, which we usually didn't do very much, which I really do enjoy, all four of us at the table. It's, I mean, because we used to eat out a lot, and it's nice. I do like that. Now, we don't have Uber Eats. We have Paige Eats. We send her out every day to get the food, and she comes back with it. So, but we do eat from home too, so it's kind of a balance. But we're trying to support our local restaurants that we love. You know, they're having tough times too. Same. So if we can get pickup, it helps. So we have somewhere to go when we get out of this. All right. Pam Forrester is also joining us. She's co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Friday, Pam.
Happy Friday. I know, right? It's kind of a weird thing. Like Steve and I would do happy hour at the end of the week because that was the end of the week. And we made it to the weekend and we looked forward to it. We always went out. It was sort of our little date night every week. And yeah, it's weird. We do date night at home like every other night.
It's all the time now. It's right? You can't get away from your significant other.
Oh yeah, here we are at our dining room. Yeah, awesome.
Exactly. Again. Yeah. It's like, hey, it's another day in paradise. That's what I keep saying.
I'm gonna go to work now upstairs in my office, and you're going downstairs to where your office is, and Hannah's going to her office, and so there we are.
Our offices are they're loose offices. We have the kitchen table, we have the love seat, and I do have my office in the basement, but I put up my wall because Paige has an office right behind me where she's doing her stuff. So yeah, it's funny how everything can be an office nowadays. But
I know, we'll make right? It
all right, so here's my question.
Yeah,
I have
to stop on my taxes now at this point.
That's it. Yes, everything is going to be a tax. It's going to be so messed up this year. All right, so again, the phone lines are open. If you want to give us a holler, 407-413-9395. We'll get you on the air. We'll put you on the show if you want to call in and ask any questions of Pam and Ricky or me even. If you want to have any Disney questions, it could be life questions. We don't care at this point. Things are crazy. But here's my question I have for you guys. With this shutdown, and somebody mentioned this on one of our community check-ins not too long ago. We've done these shows in the past of right now at Walt Disney World, somebody is catching a bus from Animal Kingdom Lodge over to Epcot, you know, because somebody is always doing something at some point because the parks are 24/7. There's stuff going on all the time. Right now at Walt Disney World, though, there's nothing going on. So this caller called in and said, you know, I'm just picturing the pool at the Wilderness Lodge. And, you know, it's probably just flat. The water's flat. There's nothing going on. It's silent. And if you guys could picture one place right now at Walt Disney World, at one of the resorts or maybe even one of the theme parks, like where's a desolate place you would like to see that would be kind of like to me, like the Tower of Terror queues kind of eerily like abandoned looking on a normal day, but it's probably kind of almost spooky right now, like at dusk. So like, what's a place you would like to see right now at Walt Disney World in this abandoned state, in this, you know, nobody's there. It's totally isolated. So Ricky, where would you go if you could pick a place right now to drop in on at Walt Disney World with nobody there?
I mean, hands down, I think easily it's got to be Main Street USA, you know, just where you could see the castle, our happy place, and, you know, see just the peacefulness of an era gone by. You know, that's kind of why we love it so much. So I really think that would be the number one place that I would want to just sit at the end, you know, where they have those yellow and white umbrella tables and just sit there and hang out and just watch as the world go. Well, you know, not the world goes by, but you know, like it really is like, it's just so peaceful there. That's where I would want to sit. It's just there.
See, to me, it like the resorts kind of give me that heebie-jeebie kind of feel more than the theme parks. And I don't know why, because the theme parks have an energy. They always have music playing. But like I'm picturing, you know, walking through Alligator Bayou at Riverside with like nobody around, you know, nothing. Because I mean, there's times where you go through there, you know, early in the morning, you're the only person that you see for a little bit. You don't see a lot of activity in that, you know, that corner of the resort with the, you know, it's got that overgrown look as it is. But I just wonder like how eerie that would be now with nobody. What about you, Pam? When you picture that, nobody's there, nothing's happening. What corners of property do you think would be most interesting?
It's so weird to even think about it. Cause like you, Mike, like when you walk into a resort, there is the background music. There are the smells coming from the restaurants. There is just that general like background hum of people talking or whatever. And I think that would be so odd to step into any resort. There's no music playing. There's no background hum. There's no anything. There's no people sitting on the couches or, I mean, any of these resorts, the Wilderness Lodge, you don't get to hear that awesome soundtrack that's there. Or the Animal Kingdom Lodge, the same thing. And the fact that those are both resorts that have sort of a wood floor, you know, you always sort of hear that, people walking on it and things like that. I can't imagine what this actually feels like right now to be there. It would be eerie and sad and just sad in some ways, you know, because they're usually such a point of happiness and excitedness and all of that. So I'd be missing that.
Yeah, and Heath says, you know, his DVC home resort is Boardwalk and he just can't imagine it completely void of life, because he's exactly right. If you ever stay at Boardwalk, one of the things that's most exciting for me when I stay there is just driving up to it with that, you know, the Boardwalk sign there with the lights, the white bulbs that light up at night. And you got that big canopy. And of course, the cast members come out, the valets, and they're like knickers. They want to take your car. They want to help you with luggage. And like, there's just, there's energy from that point. You're not even into the hotel yet. You're not even into the resort. Then you get into the lobby and you have people, like I said, sitting in couches. You got that little carousel. You can push the button, it plays music, and you just people coming and going. You can look out the windows and see Crescent Lake. It's got to be such a weird time to be there because I know they're probably not. There's not a lot of people working, I'm sure, right now, but I'm sure there's people here and there, you know, doing maintenance, making sure security stuff like that. I mean, we've seen them take the flag up every day at the Magic Kingdom, which is awesome. But it just. It's got to be so strange because we were talking about this on Wednesday's show, or actually we were talking before we started recording. I was talking with Pam, and with these cruise lines, you know, when they, again, I'm guessing, but I mean, this has to be true. When they come up with their business plan for all these ships, especially a cruise line that's got lots of ships, like a Royal Caribbean or like a Carnival, they have all these ships, but I mean, even in their business plans, they probably have, you know, the plan is 80% of the ships are always out at sea, where that, you know, on any given day, 20% of the ships may be in a port doing their port day, but 80% are probably out to sea. And all of a sudden now every ship has to be ported. They're not sailing. Like the logistics of all this has to be incredible. Pam, I mean, you've worked with Disney for a long time and you kind of have seen behind the scenes a little bit with logistics and the logistics of all this, because it's so unprecedented. They do it in hurricanes occasionally with ships, and then even World gets shut down with a hurricane every now and then for like a day, you know, but the people are still at the resorts. Just the logistics, they have to be rewriting the rules right now as we speak about the reopening, you know, like, is it going to be phased? Is it going to be resorts first, then parks first? I mean, they got to be coming up with rules, and I'd imagine they're in boardrooms saying like, what is the best, you know, best practices for something that is so unprecedented, but they have to do it the right way and they get one shot at it when they reopen. What do you think that's like for them?
I don't envy that process, first of all. I mean, you know, I just don't. I think there's so many things to take into consideration when you're thinking about this. And I think it really, so much of it is dependent upon how, what the recovery looks like, what, you know, what we have in our arsenal in terms of treating it and identifying people who may be either immune for one reason or another, whether they've had it and have the antibodies in their system. But I think that that's the thing that makes Disney such a forward-thinking company. And I know, you know, when the furloughs were, they talked about that, I know that that was disappointing to some people, but I also have to say that I think that what Disney's doing is try to ensure the existence of their company as they move forward, right? And that's the responsible thing for people to do when you are part of the running of a company. I mean, it's weird. When we first started even our little company, you know, in the beginning, it was sort of about us. But as we brought on other agents that work with us and stuff like that, it becomes about the company, that you have to, your job is to see the future when the company still exists, when you're not there anymore, right? Everyone loves to feel like they're essential to a company. But I can tell you as a business owner, my goal is to work myself out of a job in terms of that it can go on without me, right? It doesn't need me. I'm not the reason why we, you know, that all these people do that. So that is really challenging though, because I know, you know, in Disney's whole credence, one of the things is the safety of their cast members and their guests. That's up at the top there. So how do you take all those things into consideration and feel like you could move on doing that and doing everything else? It's really going to be challenging for them. And I think it'll be a testament to the kind of company that they are, how they do it, right? And that they're so good at pivoting and adjusting as needed. And I see them being able to do that too.
And the theme parks are such a, you know, they're a destination. You can't pick them up. You can't move them. You can't, they're fixed in the resorts as well. But we've seen through the digital part of the company where they've really, you know, push progress with, you know, releasing things to Disney Plus a lot earlier than they would have been, because they're cannibalizing the digital sales, like of the Blu-rays and, you know, the digital downloads for a couple months before they move it over to the platform. So they are kind of, they're making choices on the fly. You know, they're having to come up with a better way to, because again, as much as we know,
and this is a company, mind you, that does not make choices on the fly very easily.
Well, I know, and that's the thing. But I mean, they're forced to, which is good. I mean, but also you got to remember, we are Disney fans. We love the company. We feel loyalty to them. But at the end of the day, they're a business that's there to make money. I mean, that's just, you got to remember that is, that's one of the things. I mean, that's what they do. And so they're going to look for ways to, but also making money is also keeping a guest happy at the same time. They want to have customer loyalty. So it's a balancing act, but I'm glad to see that maybe they're going to be more agile on the other side of this, where they're going to see that they can make choices quicker, like they're doing with the Disney Plus and all the digital media and stuff like that, how they're rearranging movie releases and dates and so forth. It's going to be a learning lesson for everybody in their home, how we behave is just people in the world now, but also bigger companies are going to have to be agile. I want to ask you this, Ricky, because the day we're recording, we got that press release about the college program and the cultural representatives being sent home, you know, here in the next week or so, the fall program kind of up in the air. So what do you think that means? Because we have a lot of college program folks and, you know, they're going home. So that's going to change how the parks look when they open, I would imagine.
Yeah, it definitely is. And like you said, I feel like when they reopen, they are going to reopen in maybe phases. Just the way it seems, you know, with them not having as much cast as they normally have. So I suspect that you might see the Magic Kingdom open and then that'll be open for a little while, and then you might have, you know, Magic Kingdom and Disney Hollywood Studios open, and then they might have that, you know, go for a while, and then they, you know, because we're still going to have to do, I suspect, the social distancing thing as we continue on through the rest of the year or so. Not maybe to the same extent, but there's definitely going to have to be something put in place so that people aren't maybe right on top of each other. Don't fill in all the available space, yeah, you know, that kind of thing. So I think we might see that, especially with them not having as many cast members. I think that what will happen, though, as well when they do reopen is that all the full-time cast members will obviously have the majority of the ability to work, meaning like they will give them the jobs first. So that is probably why I think that they've maybe gotten rid of a lot of the, you know, CP, international program, you know, all those type of cast members, just because, you know, they're going to want to deal with their core cast members, that, you know, have worked for Disney forever, first and manage that. And then they can start adding, you know, college program and, you know, international program back in. At that point, but I think we're going to see them really try to focus on their main core cast members to begin with.
Yeah, I think too, what we're going to see is that you're going to have to be patient because things were booming. Like, you know, just 2-3 weeks before this started going down, things were booming. The economy was robust. And Pam, let me ask you this. I mean, I think that we have the opportunity to bounce back really quickly. I mean, I really do. I think the economy can bounce back really quickly because we weren't in your traditional recession where things were falling off. I mean, we were humming along. Theme park attendance, hotel occupancy, all those kind of things. I think once we kind of, but we're going to have to kind of see how it happens when people start going to ball games, people start going to concerts, people start going to fairs, parades, going to theme parks, flying again, you know, and stuff like that. But I think that if, and again, crossing our fingers, because nobody knows how this stuff will go, but if things normalize to a certain extent, I think that this is something that we can learn from. We can be, you know, safer and kind of have better ideas of what's going on. But I think we can bounce back quickly. I think we are going to have an adjustment period, though.
I think that people are really anxious to get back to a more normal life. I mean, that's something that we hear from just about everyone. Everyone I talk to is like, I am missing the normal things that I used to do. And I know that everyone is. And for so many of us, that involved travel of some sort, being able to do that. And it involved going out to restaurants and it involved all these things. If we can pull this, you know, together to the point where we're able to start getting back out there and doing those things, I think that so many of our businesses will be able to recover from this really quickly. And I think that that's really important for all of us for so many reasons. just to get that the money flowing through our economy, I think is going to be really important for us. And I think there's so many of us who are anxious to do that. Like, we're counting the days, minutes, and hours until we can do that in some way. So I think so too. I think that so often when things like this come up, what stands out to me again and again is the extraordinary kindness of so many people, how everyone is looking for a way to help, and you just feel it. And I think that sometimes it takes something like this for us to really reconnect with that part of us that really wants and enjoys doing that. But I think that we'll be able to quickly do that when we have the opportunity.
And I was thinking about this the other day. If you've been in the Disney community for any amount of time, you might remember they've had lots of promotions that last about a year. And one of the ones that I really, you know, was kind of confused on when it came out, but I liked it as it went on, was that give a day, yeah, get a Disney day, which I think was about 2014, 2013. It's been quite a bit.
Oh, that was earlier, I think.
It was a while back. It doesn't matter when it was.
I think it was like right when we started.
Yeah. I mean, but the thing was, the focus was that Disney was encouraging folks to go out in the community, you know, work a day at a dog shelter, you know, serve food to the homeless, whatever, you know, do construction, Habitat for Humanity. And in exchange, they would give you a day's ticket to a Disney theme park, which I thought was amazing. And I was thinking about this the other day because we're really thinking about, and we have a lot of folks in our audience that are doctors, nurses, frontline people, work at grocery stores, Walmarts, Targets. People that are custodial at a hospital, or people that, you know, work on the, you know, the periphery of the medical fields that are helping keep us safe. I think it would be a great gesture if somehow, if you show your credentials, these folks are rewarded with something like that. You don't have to give, you know, it's not feasible to give a 7-day vacation or a cruise or something. But if you respond in kindness, like, these families have given a lot. Many doctors and nurses can't even be around their families at this point because they're quarantining themselves and they go home because they don't want to infect their families. How awesome would it be for Disney to give a 1-day's ticket or something along that line? I mean, it doesn't have to be something extraordinary, but just to honor these people who are the heroes among us right now, because what better place to reconnect and kind of celebrate that we've made it through this trying time than, you know, walking down Main Street USA. A doctor needs that just as much as we do. You know, I think that'd be a cool thing.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. Absolutely. And I think if a company is going to do something like that, it would be Disney. I mean, you know, to honor those who have really put themselves out there like that and helped keep us going. You know, I absolutely think that would be a fantastic idea for Disney to do.
I agree.
You know, they honor our military. And
yes,
yes. They don't give them free tickets necessarily.
No, but they give them a break. Yeah.
But they give them a break. And I think that, you know, right now this is who, you know, not that the military doesn't deserve it, but this is who deserves it as well. And I believe that they should absolutely do it for, you know, at least a year. Hey, you know, we know that times have been tough for you guys too. You know, you've gone through a lot. So here's a free day, or, you know, here's discounted tickets or something along those lines.
I was thinking of that too. And I was thinking also, you know, we have, if you go to the Magic Kingdom, one of my favorite things ever to do is the flag retreat ceremony at 5 o'clock, where you go down in Town Square, they pull down the flag, and they honor a veteran of the day, you know, maybe for the next year. And I know a lot of folks would not want the recognition. I know a lot of doctors, nurses, they do their job. That's what they signed up to do. And that's kind of what it is. If they don't need the recognition, they're there because that's their calling in life. And I totally get that. But how cool would it be if, like, for the next year, you know, that day at the Magic Kingdom at, you know, 5 o'clock, six, you know, the veterans will have their thing at 5 o'clock. Maybe you do it at like 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock. You just have like a first responder rally or something in Town Square, and you get to people just get to come down. You know, we probably won't shake hands, but give them a round of applause at this point. You know, just it's because I think as a society, we need to have a way, and Disney could give us the opportunity to recognize them, because I think the average Joe like me, I want to recognize doctors and nurses, but I don't know how. I mean, I can say it here on the podcast, but like, I don't know who in my community is a doctor or nurse. We're going to try to put up a sign in the front yard saying, thanks, doctors, nurses, everybody on the front lines. Pam, what do you think about a way to really show the folks who are got their hands dirty in this pandemic? They're the ones that are standing up for all of us. How could Disney make that happen to help us all recognize those folks?
I think it's so hard because there's so many people in so many different industries who are doing extraordinary things. You know what I mean?
It's hard to draw the line.
At the end of it, don't we all feel like we need to give ourselves like a pat on the back that we've gotten through it?
We made it!
Yeah. I know, right? And just in different ways. I mean, absolutely, you name some groups of folks who absolutely are helping us, but there's all kinds of people who are really doing extraordinary things. And I think that's sort of, in that way, it's tough to pick out some but not others. You know, every time I see one of those, like, thank and then fill in the blank here, I think, oh gosh, I want to steal that and post it. And then I'm like, oh, but wait, there's like this whole other group of folks. Yes, I know. And then I'm sort of reluctant to do that because, whatever. You know,
I'm thankful to everyone, this section or this section. Even the people that I'm not thinking about that are, you know,
true. It's just like I almost feel like we all need to just be aware of the fact that there are so many people who are doing extraordinary things and so many people who are in this. I mean, I think about the researchers and developers who are looking at vaccines and treatments, and doctors who are sort of seeing patterns and gathering sort of anecdotal, you know, observances and putting those into more practical uses to discover, like, does this help, does it not? Or how about like at our own, you know, the hospital where my husband works is where they're looking at one of those potential, that at UPMC they have that SARS antibody that they're starting to explore more and to see how that could possibly be used to help people who have this get better. It's just extraordinary. It really and truly, truly is the number of people who have done such incredible things during this. It is. But that goes down to even the folks that show up every day at the grocery store. Yes. I mean, think about how quickly our country would grind to a halt if we weren't able to get most of the things. I know that there's been, you know, certain shortages of certain things, but when you think about that, think about the way that teachers responded so quickly. Like, I will just say as an example, Hannah's school, they got word on like a Thursday afternoon before, they had Friday to go in and get their stuff and get a game plan together, and they rolled it out the next week to make sure that their kids, you know, these kids that they care about every day, get all the stuff that they need to do, and they get to learn a new system, right? This is a new system for the teachers, for the kids, for the parents, and all of that. So there's so many people who are doing so many incredible, incredible things, and it's hard to choose, you know, how to do that. But
because you got your truck drivers that are getting the goods to Target, to Walmart. You got the folks who are at the warehouse who are loading the trucks. You know, it's just, it's a whole,
the people who are still manufacturing some of these things. The people who have, I am constantly amazed by people who had a business that was doing X and they have transformed it into doing something like making masks, making respirators, all of those things. I think that people are looking for opportunities to help. And it's, you know, that's another great benefit of that.
Yeah. And it's one of those things too. Like, I saw that New Balance has switched from making tennis shoes, sneakers, to masks. And you know what? I mean, this is just me and people can do what they want, but I'll tell you what, I've run a New Balance and I've switched kinds of shoes from time to time in my running. I wear a lot of shoes running as many miles as I do, and I used to run the New Balance all the time back when they had the Run Disney New Balance shoes. So I was really loyal to them, but I switched it up. I tried Hokas, I've tried Asics and all kinds of things, but guess what, my next pair is going to be New Balance again, just because they did that. You know what, like, they didn't have to do that, and so I am going to buy a new balance when it's time, just because I appreciate that. I think that's the least we could do. So yeah, I think it's one of those things that, you know, Disney's the best of the commercial, right? I mean, we can all agree that when you see a Disney commercial come on, like before all this started happening, it was that commercial with the dad and he's seeing, you know, the girl's going away to college and he sees that little video of her meme. I can't even talk about it. I'm about to cry. You know the commercial. Okay. But I mean, I think that coming back, how awesome would it be to have a Disney commercial where even the commercial just honors the people on the front lines, you know, a doctor, getting to take his family down Main Street USA, or, you know, the nurse and the, you know, the family riding Dumbo together. And just at the end, you know, we believe, you know, you made magic happen or something. You know, I think that would be something that we could all rally around. I'd like to see a Disney commercial honoring those folks at the least.
Oh, and can you imagine the tears?
Yes.
I mean, it would just be waterworks for everyone if that was a commercial. Yeah.
Shout out to Morgan, who's in the live chat. She's a Target employee. She says to keep being swamped at her store, but she's out there. And, you know, we appreciate that because we, you know, they tell us, you know, wipe down your countertops, wipe down everything that comes to your house. Well, guess what? You can't do that if you can't go to Target or Walmart and get, you know, hand sanitizer.
That guy still can't get paper towels and toilet paper. Let's just be perfectly honest. So I tried a couple days ago. I still can't get any.
Morgan keeps sending me all kinds of toilet paper. So I can't say, no, just kidding. She's not. I'm just playing. That'd be nice.
I see. I was going to say, Morgan
fired.
No, we're in that precarious point at our house where we had a decent amount. We didn't hoard it, but like Paige came home from Columbia, she brought hers. So I went out and got the biggest pack I could get when it started looking iffy. But now we're working through the stash. And so we're paranoid yet, but we're starting to think about it. We're starting to try to come up with a plan.
I'm the same way. I'm starting to think like, okay, I have enough in a way, but like I still, like I'm getting kind of in the dangerous low section where like if I got too much lower and I couldn't find any at all, like I would be, well, blank out of luck, but I mean, but I'm just saying, like, it's just one of those things where I'm like, I'm getting a little nervous now. They better start putting some toilet paper in stores and people better stop buying them. Like, you know, it's going out of style. I mean, in a way it kind of is, but
the good news is the leaves are coming in on the trees. So if worse gets to worse.
I have to. I better go find a really, really... The problem is my neighborhood doesn't have a lot of trees, so I'm in trouble. So we don't have a tree in my front yard. So
we all play Survivor, and there's ways that they take care of themselves on the island, and I think we're all going to end up with long hair, beards, gray hair, and we're going to be in trouble. No, so wrapping this up, though, this little conversation we're having on Disney, I think that, you know, it's going to be one of those things that when you come through something unexpected like this and something so unprecedented, we learn lessons. And one of those things is, and I'm a history buff, so either way, we're going to be able to say, you know, as long as we all stay safe and stay healthy and follow the guidelines, which I think everybody's doing a pretty good job. We're starting to get it. You know, everybody's starting to figure it out that this is for the best. It stinks right now. We're very social people, especially folks that are Disney fans. We like being with people. We like seeing shows. We like being in a show. But I think, you know, this time apart where we're staying separated is working and that we'll come out stronger on the other side. But I think it's going to be one of those things, hopefully, and again, I'm a very optimistic person, we'll look back in a decade and say we made it through. It was a tough time. I mean, I'm not going to doubt. It's a tough time. People are losing jobs. People are being asked to do things they were not ever expected to do. You know, like you mentioned, Hannah, Pam, my wife is not a technology person. She's an old school type teacher, but she was having a video chat with her students today, checking in on all of them today on Google Hangouts. But the thing is, when she goes back to school, she's going to have that in her arsenal. You know, that's a tool in her belt now for a kid that might have to have a surgery and they're out for a month. You know, now she can check in really easily with the student and they can have that relationship they wouldn't have had a month before. So kind of closing this out, looking back on this, you know, hopefully this is in the rearview mirror 10 years from now. What lesson do you think we'll learn, Pam? And what lesson do you think we'll learn as far as like our vacationing and our Disney trips and so forth, or just life in general? What do you think?
So, I mean, I think that I'm going to just do my best to, this gave me, whether you have a relationship with the God or not, this has to be that moment where you feel like you're supposed to learn something
absolutely
from this, right?
100%.
You know, it was like, hey, and it gives you a moment to really see what's important to you. And I've been able to, you always think you know that, right? And if someone would ask you to identify the things, you probably could. Mm-hmm. But this has done it in a way that saying it or even imagining it could not. And my family and friends, the people that I care about, of course, having all the essentials that you need, and travel is still right up there for me. Mm-hmm. I just, in ways that I can't even put my finger on, it add so much to my life, those new experiences and the opportunity to meet you all. Like, if I didn't travel, I wouldn't have met either of you. Yep. This wouldn't have happened. And I wouldn't have been able to meet all the other great people that are in my life. That's what travel has brought to my life. And I almost feel like, what am I missing out on now that I'm not traveling? I mean, of course, the opportunity to go to my favorite places in the world. But what else am I missing out on that I couldn't even anticipate, right? Who would have thought that traveling would result in this, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So what else that I could not anticipate am I missing out on now? And I just, you know, I will find different ways to make that happen in different ways, I think. And I think that's important. I mean, I know that there are lots of businesses that are looking at the ways that they do things. And we absolutely are looking at the ways that we do things as a company and finding ways to improve or change or adapt or whatnot. That's going to happen. But personally, it's the travel thing still.
It is. And you're right. I mean, travel opens so many doors. You know, if I hadn't taken my girls to the places we've gone, they wouldn't have met the people we've met and got to experience cultures, you know, that we didn't. You know, we've got to meet friends from the UK. We've got to meet friends from Japan. We've got to meet friends from Australia. And it's just, for a family from the middle of the United States, especially like us in Missouri, you know, that's very unusual for families of like mine, you know, so I'm glad that we have that. Ricky, final thoughts. What do you think? A decade looking back, what are we going to see?
It's so tough to predict the future of what we are going to see. I think we are, like you said, I think we're going to see what really matters to us. You're right, Pam. I think we are, going to see how important those relationships that we've created really are. And that we need to do a better job of making sure that people know how important those relationships are. I feel like that's going to be like, that's something that maybe had been lost a little bit, you know, like you were saying, you know, you gotta have a moment where you just like take it in and you're like, wait, what was I doing? And you know, I really think that that's going to be the key is figuring out, okay, this is what's really important in life. And this is what we really need to focus on doing. And I think it's a good reset. And I think that that's what it will be, you know, looking back in 10 years, I think it will be, this was our reset moment. And this is how we innovated, because, you know, we are coming up with so many different ways to do things nowadays that we weren't, you know, we had the technology obviously to do those things and things like that, but we weren't really doing those things. And I think that, you know, in a weird way, you know, hopefully you look back, like Mike was talking about, you look at the past, you know, and you look back in like times of like World War II and things like that. And obviously, you know, not many of us that probably listen to this podcast were around at that time. But you look at how life changed from that moment on. And I feel like this is going to be like the same kind of change in our culture. Like, it's going to impact every single aspect of our lives, much like World War II did in that way. And things are going to change so much that we're going to figure things out. And I think the country and other places in the world are going to move forward that much more in ingenuity and things like that as we move forward. So I think it's going to be in 10 years, we're going to see just this massive explosion of, you know, advances that maybe we weren't thinking about, even close to thinking about back then. But because we were in this time, we think about them now.
Yep. So I think we'll do things just like, Teresa said, Aaron said, we'll have a lot more telecommuting. A lot of people can do their jobs probably remotely nowadays. And I think the biggest thing is we'll be more appreciative of the things we get to do.
Absolutely. You know, like,
everything is going to be better on the other side. I mean, going to church with your, you know, because I know a lot of churches are doing online church. That's great. I mean, that's a new way, especially think about if you're a shut-in. We have a lot of folks that are shut-in. They can't get to church. You know, that's great. You can take it right there to them. And that's something that our church really didn't broadcast. And a lot of churches did. We didn't. You know, now we can take that opportunity to, you know, for outreach. But I mean, just like you said, having a relationship with your waiter, waitress at the restaurant, or you know, just being kind to the person at the grocery store, you know, and just, I think it's, we're going to be appreciative of things. And I think we needed that reset. So
I think that's the big word. We're going to be a lot more appreciative than we had been in the past.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. All right. Well, kind of a different show today, but a fun show nonetheless, we hope. And we have these shows every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, the regular podcasts. And of course, we're doing the live community check-ins Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, 8 o'clock Eastern, 7 o'clock Central, where you can call in. We talk about all kinds of stuff. Also on Tuesdays at that same time, Mondays and Wednesdays, a little bit different time, but just watch Facebook for that. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. When you're ready to head to a Disney destination, the agents over at the Magic for Less are standing by to help you plan the most magical vacation ever, whether it's Walt Disney World, Disneyland, Disney Cruise Line, or Adventures by Disney. They are experts. They're going to take great care of you. Drop by their website. It's a great place to start your trip planning. It's themagicforless.com. Great pictures, resort maps, menus, all the information on the Disney dining plans. There's four of them now, by the way. And just a great place to get your feet wet with that trip. And while you're there, fill out that quote form and an agent will get back to you right away. So check them out today over at themagicforless.com. Please continue to use our Amazon affiliate link. It's at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. You get all your Prime benefits and it costs you nothing extra. And it really does help support everything we do, especially in these crazy times. Please use it as often as you can. brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Give us a follow on the social media, Instagram and Twitter at BeOurGuestPod and at BeOurGuestMike. And of course, Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, that's going to do it for today's show. We'll be back again on Monday with another fun show. And of course, the community check-ins each night live on Facebook. So for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike wishing you a great Friday. Stay healthy, stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.